Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Preacher, the Miracle Man Show, here on Monday, May 20th of 2019. And as usual, I am your host for this evening, the Miracle Man. That is not my human name, it's my name for the show, however. And we're so glad you could join us tonight, wherever you may be, however you may be accessing this program tonight. We've got quite a bit of stuff to get to tonight. We're going to talk about what I did Saturday with that Hello Kitty thing at that 12 Oaks Mall, along with, as well as talk about that said mall, and kind of delve into see maybe, do I like Great Lakes or 12 Oaks better? I'll have to listen for in a few minutes to find that out. Also, we had a great speaker at our church. We had two different guest speakers, one yesterday morning, one last night. And specifically, yesterday morning, we had Lisa Osteen. Dodie's daughter. Now, John Osteen is in heaven. He went to be with the Lord 20 years ago, and Dodie is still here. She'll travel and that, but Lisa is powerful. And I have a couple nuggets that I'm going to share with you from that and discuss as part of the teaching time. Speaking of teaching, tonight I'm going to look at Acts again. 10 and 11. And then I want to look at Acts 19 verses 11 and 12. Where it talks about like believing for miracles. And then we'll discuss what we read about, as well as me giving you those nuggets. After all that, I'm going to sing God of Miracles tonight, if time allows. If it does not allow me to do so, I will be singing that tomorrow night. We have sports to get to tonight as well. I want to talk about the Tigers a little bit and then give a basketball update, as well as what happened with Tiger Woods this weekend. What on earth was that? So, so as you can tell, we got a lot of stuff to get to. First off, The Hello Kitty truck ended up coming to 12 Oaks on Saturday down there in Novi at 12 Road and West 12 Mile, just north of I-96 by about a quarter to a half a mile, which right outside the food court. And this mall happens to have some outdoor seating in front of the food court. When I got there at about 2:15, there was quite a few people lined up for the truck, like 30 people or so, but it moved rather quick. And quite a bit of stuff was sold out, but I did manage to get a three-piece cookie set. Two of them are gone. And then two of them are gone because I ate it. The final cookie I'm giving away. I meant to give it away yesterday, and the person was there because one of my helpers wanted one, but I forgot, and I ate one of them yesterday too. The initial one I ate was right there at the truck at that seating outside. Now about 12 Oaks. It was built in 1976 by A. Alfred Taubman. Taubman still owns that mall to this day. 1977 was opening date, not 76, 77. So just about 42 years ago. That mall was later expanded in 2007 to include a Nordstrom and about 30 other stores in that wing. 5 years ago, a cheesecake factory was added to it. And they say the food court is between JCPenney's and Nordstrom. I don't know where they got that from. It's actually right next to Penny's. So how can they say it's between Penny's and Nordstrom when it's actually right next to Penny's? That doesn't make any sense, Ava, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Okay. Because that made me think it was in between somewhere. And then I was looking around and that, and it was right next to Penny. Because I remembered it was close to Penny's. I didn't realize it was that close to Penny's, though. You know?
No.
But, like, at least at GLC, you have district numbers. And that really helps me. What really helps me about that layout is I can tell that I'm transitioning into another district because the floor changes in between the districts. I don't know if they did that strictly to help people like me out or if they did it like it was just in the – somehow was put into the design plans. I don't know why. But to me, that comes in kind of handy. This mall, you know, there's a Penny's, you know, there's Penny's, and then there's the food court, and then down in the way in the middle there is Starbucks, like an area with Starbucks and that in it. If you continue like straight along the wall, you'll come to the Nordstrom hallway. Once you get through that, then Lord and Taylor, then Sears, then Macy's. Or if you go down another certain hallway, like you go across the middle somehow, then you can get to the Sears quicker. It's a bit, yeah, it is a bit different of a layout than Great Lakes. No, this mall is two levels, 185 stores. It's about twice as old. Traffic was really good. I was especially impressed at how the inside did, considering how warm it was, because I figured the inside would be weather-dependent. If weather was bad, excuse me, I'll rephrase that. If weather was rainy and, like, real cloudy, I figured it would make inside be extra busy. I figured if weather was really nice, that it would make it possibly less than average. It actually was pretty well average, but at times it seemed busier. Like when I first got there, it seemed a little busier. There's quite a few tables out in front of that food court, but surprisingly no one was sitting there. I got a bite to eat there, and I would have ate it outside if there was a bunch of other people out there, but there wasn't. Because in a mall like that, I want to eat some food. I'm kind of one of those. I want to be in the area where the people are. You know, you're usually in a place like that, that's how I am. And as long as there's a table just for me or me and whoever I'm with and whatever, what have you, but other than that, you know, I'm kind of one of those. I like being where they are. As opposed to, like, having a full food court and then, like, nobody's outside. That's just weird. You know what I mean? Don't you think that's just weird? But all in all, it is a nice mall. Very nice. I really like it. Neighborhood-wise, I still like Auburn Hills better. Seems to me like some of the stores in 12 Oaks have a big infatuation of playing loud music that you can hear from a little ways away. And I really like that, actually. Hollister's coming in a month to that mall. There's going to be a Hollister outlet. Don't you think that's pretty cool? Don't you like Hollister, Ava?
No, I like Hollister.
Do you wish there was an outlet?
Yeah.
I wish Bertrand would get one too, but Bertrand though, you'll never hear the music, I feel like, there though, huh? Do they ever open up their doors at Bertrand, or do you not feel like they do, the stores?
Mm-hmm.
You don't think anyone there has ever really blared the music like what the indoor ones do?
No.
Why not? Wrong environment?
Yeah.
But, like, it's going right across from round one. Round one, you can hear all the sounds of the blaring video games and that. And I will say the sounds are different between the two. I feel like it kind of depends on what I really want, determines which I like more. Which am I more apt to go to? Between 12 Oaks and Great Lakes for sure. Because for one thing, it's a lot closer to my mom's. And um, 12 volts in general, like, I'll totally go, like, if I'm in the area. Other than that, I'm more up to go to, like, a Somerset, a Great Lake, something like that. Nothing against 12 Oaks at all. I really like it, but just it's out of the way, way out of the way from, like, my parents' side of Detroit. Because I base it, you know, kind of on Oakland County's Main Street, I-75. Have you ever heard that that's what they call I-75 down there, is Oakland County's Main Street?
Mm-hmm.
And 12 Oaks is quite a bit of a ways from that. And so, overall, it was nice. The two cookies I ate were good. I just wish there was a way to cut that cookie in half. The one cookie I have left. Because you get one and someone else gets the other part. I already ate two of them and I'm giving the other one away. Remember I said that?
Oh, who are you giving it away to?
Either you or Rachel.
Oh. Cool.
Whichever one wants it more, you know what I mean?
Well.
You know what I mean? You know,
I'm not opposed to giving a cookie.
Yeah. You're not giving it to me. I give you the cookie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the thing is, though, is she asked for it, so I'm going to give it to her. Because she specifically asked me. Yeah, so, like, don't feel bad about it. Sorry about that. By the way, sorry about that. Listeners, we were just figuring that out, who's getting that cookie. If I have, like, a whole stash of them, I'd maybe give you listeners an opportunity to win one, and then maybe I'd mail it or something. But being there's only one cookie left, I'm not going to do that. Besides that, I got a bunch of other stuff to get to. Let me just check my clock. Let me just see. Listeners, I want to encourage you real quickly to please tell everybody you know how they can be a part of the show. We'll believe in God for a great harvest of souls to come in to the kingdom via this radio program. As part of that, we're believing God for a great harvest of new listeners. We're believing to double and then triple the audience compared to what we started this year, January 1, 2019, that we started the show with. I mean, based on average, not necessarily New Year's Day, even though I had a show that day, but kind of like the average. And our goal is to double compared to what we started with. And I just know through God we're going to do it. We're going to do it. And God's going to help us. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. And here's what you can tell them how they can be a part of the show. They can go to blogtalkradio.com. In the search bar, they'll see a search bar. In the search bar, they'll type in Upfront Entertainment. After they type that in, they'll see a link that says Lemon Large. Then they'll see a button that says Miracle Man. Go ahead and click on that. After that, you'll see a button that says Follow button. We want you to hit that Follow button, and here's why. When you hit that Follow button, you will be able to get notified. When we get, as we get ready to do our shows. For example, tomorrow night, Wednesday night, 6:30 will be our next two shows. And then Memorial Day night, I'll do a show, but what I'm going to do on that show is there might be a little word and maybe a couple verses, but other than that, I'm going to talk about, you know, those who gave their lives for our great country. And, you know, talk about what Memorial Day is truly about. Let me give you a hint. It is not about grilling mystery tubes, grilling burgers. It's not about a baseball game. It's not about a parade, even though those parades are good. It's not, and everything else, all that stuff is good. It's about thinking about, you know, those who died for this great country and for our freedoms. Because think about that name, Memorial Day. Let me think, Memorial. Ava, does that sound anything like Mystery Tube Day?
No.
Does that sound anything like throw a burger on the grill and drink a Coke while you're lighting it on the grill and then wonder what on earth happened?
Right, no.
Called Memorial Day, and yes, all the other stuff is good, but it's about taking time, and we're going to talk about that a bit on Monday. And I'm sure you've heard this thing about like, to vets, you never say Happy Memorial Day. You know what I mean? You've heard that before, haven't you?
I haven't.
Because for them, a lot of times, it's not that happy. Especially if they know someone who died.
That's true.
Yeah, so it's like, it's something to think about, folks. But anyhow, that's a plug for Monday night. Now, that notification, you'll get notified as we get ready to do these shows. Tomorrow night, Wednesday night, and then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday next week. And you'll get all those notifications like a little bit before we're getting ready to do the show here from McDonald's. You say, why do you call it McDonald's sometimes? Well, a friend of mine used to call it McDonald's. Here they say Mac. But then a preacher I like listening to from down there in Ohio, he likes to call it McDonald's. Don't you kind of like that, McDonald's? McDonald's? I love it, don't you? Kind of has more of a ring to it, McDonald's, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's what I'll call it, too. But I want to say before I give you the number that it is always a smart thing to listen to this program on your smartphone. Okay? We have a number where you can call into the show. And you can talk to me, the Miracle Man, about generally anything you want to talk about. You want to talk about sports. You want to talk about faith. You want to... Maybe you were at the service yesterday morning. Or even if you were one of the ladies that was at the ladies' meeting Friday and Saturday, and maybe you have some other golden nuggets to share. But whatever you got, go. Do you need prayer for something? At any rate, go ahead and call in. You want to talk to me? The number to call in is the area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that's 215-383-3810. Then you'll go ahead and listen for the prompts. Once you hear the prompt that says to call into a live show, press 1. You'll want to go ahead and press 1. After you do that, you will be taken to a call screener. My assistant will then answer the phone. She'll let me know that we have a caller, and then I am going to let you on the air, and I'll say, Bob from Bay City, you're listening here on the Miracle Man Show on this Monday evening. Heads up, when you hear, that means refill. And just remember, no ice, please, and I like it. Really cool. Okay?
Yeah.
Sorry about that, folks, but we were just getting that figured out. Now, hopefully, folks, we can get some great calls tonight. Now we're going to pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time together. I thank you for this the wonderful word of God, your wonderful word. I thank you that this word ministers to us and that it just strengthens us where we need it. And I just thank you, Lord God, that these people come with ears to hear and with a mind ready to receive of this great word, Jesus. And I just thank you that these people will never be the same. Never, never, never. Never, never, never. As they will be taught the wonderful word of God. I thank you that you use me as an oracle. And Lord God, I give you permission to interrupt me if you want. And even to bring some more truths that I might have heard yesterday in the service and might have forgotten. And just quicken. And I just give you praise and honor and glory for this great time in the Word tonight. And now, Lord, I confess over this show. I confess finances are coming into this radio program to do this work, to help us do this work. I thank you, Lord God, that increases in listenership are coming to the show. I thank you that many, 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 many souls are coming into this program from the north, south, east, and west all the time. And I thank you, Lord God, for partners coming in as well. And most importantly, Lord God, I'm believing for souls. Because that's the most important thing is reaching souls for you, Lord Jesus. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Let's go to Acts chapter 10. Woo! Praise God, Acts 10. After that, we're going to go to we're going to read Acts chapter 11. And then put a bookmark in Acts 19. Put it over there at verse 11. as we're going to read verses 11 and 12. In addition to Acts 10 and 11. And while we're turning there, I just want to say folks, I just want you to follow along. Whatever I do here at McDonald's, you do wherever you are. I pray you pray. I sing, you sing if you know the words. And whatever I do, you do for the next little while. Thank you, Jesus. I just love the Lord. I just love the Lord so much. Amen. You should be... Hopefully you're there by now. I'm there. I was just giving you folks a few seconds to get there. If you're not there, go ahead and catch up. We're going to begin in verse 1 right now. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known the Italian regiment. Italian. Oh, yeah, they have pizza, 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 pizza. No, I don't think so. Still the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day, at about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius. Cornelius stared at him in fear. What is it, Lord? He asked. The angel answered, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send me to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea. And when the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. And it contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. Then a voice told him, get up, Peter. Kill, eat. Surely not, Lord, Peter replied. I have never eaten anything impure or unclean. The voice spoke to him a second time. Do not call anything impure that God has made clean. This happened 3 different times. And immediately, the sheet was taken back up to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning, of the vision, the men sent to Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They didn't have no GPS. No, I just threw that in there, well, the GPS thing. When they found out where Simon's house was, and they stopped at the gate, they called out asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, there's 3 men looking for you. So get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." Peter went down and said to the men, "I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come?" The man replied, "We have come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to have you come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say." Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. Verse 24 now. We're still in Acts chapter 10. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa went along. The following day, he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them, and he had called together his relatives and his close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. "Stand up," he said. "I am only a man myself." Talking with him, Peter went inside and he found a large gathering of people. He said to them, "You're well aware that it's against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit him. But God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me?" Cornelius answered, "4 days ago, I was in my house praying at this hour, at 3 in the afternoon. Suddenly, a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, 'Cornelius, God has heard your prayer. He's remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the Tanner, who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good for you to come. Now, we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded for you to tell us. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but he accepts me from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message that God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with them. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All of the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. Some circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. And they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." He ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. Chapter 11 now. The apostles and the brothers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, "You went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them." Peter began and explained everything to them. Precisely as it had happened. I was in the city of Joppa praying. In a trance, I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. I looked into it and saw four dotted animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds of the air. Then I heard a voice telling me, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." I replied, "Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth." The voice spoke from heaven a second time. Let me just see where my... Excuse me. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth. No, by the way, the unclean or impure does not include Coca-Cola. And I don't know if that includes Dr. Pepper or not. Yeah, I think Dr. Pepper would still be considered clean. I just think Coke's a whole lot cleaner. Or do you think the other way, Ava? You think Dr. Pepper's cleaner, don't you?
Yeah.
Oh, you say that because you like it better, don't you?
Yeah.
Nope, Coke. Coke. Coke's the winner every time. Back to the Bible. Impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth. Verse 9. The voice spoke from heaven a second time. Do not call anything impure that God has made clean. This happened three times. And then it was all pulled up to heaven again. Sorry about that noise. Verse 11. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, "Sent to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved." As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came upon them as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, "John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." If God gave them the same gift as he gave us, who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could oppose God? And when they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, "So then, God has granted even the Gentiles repentance unto life." Verse 19. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution and connection of Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, Tennessee. Wait a minute. Let's see. Do you think it says Tennessee? Oh, no, it's not in there, is it? It's not in there. It doesn't say Tennessee, does it? Nope, the Church of Antioch. They traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message only to Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, each according to his ability, decided to provide help for the brothers living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders, to Barnabas and Saul. I'm going to read down to like verse 12 of chapter 12. And then we'll go to 19 and read those two verses. And then you folks can just have a seat around the campfire and I'm going to talk to you. Verse 1. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had Jesus, he had James, the brother of John, put to death by the sword. When he saw that this pleased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the feast of unleavened bread. After arresting him, he put Peter in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison. But the church was earnestly praying to God for him. They weren't just passive. Oh, I hope. Is there a God or not? I don't know. Nope, they were earnestly praying to God. Now, the night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains. And sentries took guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals." And Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was just seeing a vision. Then Peter passed through the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading out to the city. It opened for them by itself. Hold on. That gate opened by itself. And they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything that the Jewish people were anticipating." When this had dawned on Peter, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant girl named Rhoda. Oh, there was verse 13, but I'm going to keep reading a few more verses, because I really like this story. And I'm going to tell it, but in order for you to understand it, I'm going to read it. I'll back up to verse 12, because then you can understand it. When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, John Mark. When many people had gathered, where many people had gathered and were praying. They were in there having a prayer meeting. Peter knocked at the outer door entrance, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed, she ran back without opening it and exclaimed, "Peter's at the door!" "You're out of your mind," they told her. Oh, more unbelief. Oh, unbelief, 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 unbelief. When she kept insisting that it was so, they said, it must be his angel. But Peter kept on knocking. And when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Peter mentioned that he motioned with his hand for them to be quiet. And he described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. "Tell James and the brothers about this," he said. And then he left for another place. In the morning, there was no small commotion among the soldiers as to what had become of Peter. After Herod had a thorough search made for him, and didn't find him, he cross-examined the guards and ordered that they be executed. I think that's a good place to stop, but we're going to read two more verses. Right now we're going to go to Acts 19, 11, and 12. Thank you, Jesus. 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 I love you. I love you, Lord. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Just a sweet Jesus. He's so sweet. He's so mighty and so powerful. Yes. We're going to read 11 and 12, Acts 19, 11 and 12, and then we're going, to discuss what happened and everything I read, and I'm going to share those nuggets with you. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul. You know, by this point, Saul had his name changed to Paul. So that even... Verse 11. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them. In other words, let me explain. People were healed through prayer cloths, in a sense. Now, I love the story of verse 12, of chapter 12. So, Herod decides, you know what, folks? I just can't stand this Peter fella. So, you know what I'm going to do? I am going to throw this guy into prison. Yep, I'm going to throw him into prison. Yeah. And so, let me just check my clock real quick. So they decide to, I'm just going to throw Peter into prison. So they end up throwing Peter in prison. And eventually we're going to get into Paul and Silas. I don't know when we're going to do that, but we're going to do it. And I would have been in 2 Samuel right now, but honestly, the Spirit of God is just leading me through Acts right now. And I am not sorry about that at all. Because, you see, there's so many miracles in it, including, here's the miracles that happened. Peter is sitting there in that cell. They were going to take him out just for public trial. And then based on what they found, depending on what the proceedings had ended with, the verdict could have made him either free or sent him to prison. The night before, Peter's sitting there laying there in that cell. A light shines on Peter, onto Peter. Then he hears a voice, "Get up, Peter, come on, get up." And he tells him, "Take off these prison clothes, get your other clothes back on." He gets his clothes on. Then this angel of the Lord leaves him. Oh, and these chains that were on his wrist, this angel didn't have to get them off. The chains just fell off his wrist right there. And then the angel leads Peter out of that cell block, you know, and then he leads him past the squads of soldiers, out the gate, out the other gate, down a street. At that point, he thinks he's just seen a vision of him being released from prison. And then, after that angel leaves him, he realizes, you know, this is really happening to me. And all these people are out there on these people. You know, all these people are over there at Mary's house, and they're having a prayer meeting, a corporate prayer meeting. And all these people are praying, you know, for Peter. And they, you're just believing God, you know, he's okay, that he'll come home, that he comes, and then he comes to the door, he knocks. A servant girl named Rhoda opens the door. Actually, I had a cassette based on this when I was little that did a real good job at telling the story. It was called Rhoda. I remember when she got that for me, she made the mistake of calling it Rhonda. I immediately got home after we got it, and I just I'm like, I'm going to listen to this cassette. And I'm a 7-year-old kid, you know, and I'm like, I want to hear the story. So I get in the house, and I turn it on, and I end up, yeah, I get in the house, I turn that thing, I'll get in that house, I'll turn that thing on, and I listen to it. Really reminded me of that story, and all these people are praying for him, earnestly praying to God for him. And then it's just such a beautiful thing. He gets in there and he tells them the story about what had happened. And but first, she goes to the door, she runs back and tells all these people, oh, and what do you know? More doubt and unbelief. Doggone it. Doubt and unbelief. And we thought all the doubt and unbelief went home. And, but they were like, oh, it's just an angel. Well, it might be something else. And then they all go to the door to see. She knocks at the door. She opens it again. This time all these people are in awe and amazement. And they're like, it is. It's you. You're alive. What happened? And they're basically like, we pray. We came to pray for you and God heard us. Right there. Right at that night when they were having that prayer meeting. And that miracle happened. Peter came home. You know, I'm helping somebody right now. Somebody's bound. You're bound and you're about to be released. You're about to be released from that bondage, that thing that has you bound. Whatever it is. You're about to have that release, that miracle release. Going to be released from that bondage, from that captivity. You're going to be released from it. In the name of Jesus, you're going to be released from it. Whatever it is. And these people were praying. They did not expect defeat. They will believe in God for victory. That victory in this case was civilly. It would have been a victory if he was just out of prison, Isaac. The even greater victory was that he came home. They didn't plan on defeat. They planned on victory. You know, so that was one of those points that Lisa Osteen Combs said yesterday in the morning service. And she said, don't you ever plan for defeat. Plan for victory. And then she told a couple stories about herself. Where in 1990 a pipe bomb was met for her daughter. No, a pipe bomb was met for her dad. Actually, what happened was she opened a package. The package had a pipe bomb. The pipe exploded. And she got away with it. Walked away without super serious injuries. Yes, there were a few burns in that, I imagine, but, you know, it could have been a lot worse. It could have been a lot worse. And she received a miracle, healing from it. It was a miracle that bomb didn't just take her right out right there. Another one she mentioned, her mother, Dodie, who went through a bout of cancer when she was 48, form of cancer which kills most people who have it. Now she's been cancer-free for a very, very, very long time. That cancer never came back. That victory was that she got healed. That family, you know, John, Lisa, Victoria, it's time that Osteen household. They did not plan on defeat. They planned on victory. They chose not to operate in doubt and unbelief. You know, they believed the report of the Lord. They believed. They planned on victory. Next time you have a family member who's diagnosed with the report that says either this person's going to die or this person is just going to live with this very bad injury or whatever all the rest of their life. How about instead of planning for that, yeah, there's some things you can do in the natural, but how about instead of planning for that, how about plan for that victory? How about plan for that miracle? Or they say, you know, you might get laid off from the certain job position you have. Instead of planning for that, why not plan for an increase in your pay? you know, but at a higher position. Why not believe God's? Why not plan on that instead? Plan on a victory instead of planning on defeat. You just plan on defeat, you're more likely to just be defeated. You know, when I was a little guy, my mom called Dr. Buckley. She basically said, "Well, Pastor, you know, we can." She said, Pastor Buckley, the doctors here at the hospital, they came in the room and they said, Julie, we can give your son Rivers a shot. He'll go to sleep. He'll be dead. Or we can just but I'm like, it's your choice. She called Pastor. I was like, what do you do? What do I do? Pastor told her, well, Julie, don't quit fighting. Fight the good fight of faith, Julie. I believe your son's going to live and not die. That's what Dr. Buckley told my mother. We didn't plan on defeat. We don't plan on defeat now. I don't plan on defeat. And if ever I did, I'm not doing it anymore for yesterday's message. I'm not saying I ever was planning on defeat necessarily, because that is so unlike me, planning for defeat. But if I was doing it, I'm done planning for defeat, because I'm planning for victory. Because I know I'm in God's hand. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Never plan on defeat. That was point one. Point two I want to leave you with is whatever you believe in God for, it's on the way. It's on the way. You know, it's about to happen. Something's about to happen. It's coming. It's on its way. You just got to stay steadfast and not turn away from God. You just got to stay right and stay on the path. And the closer you get, the more the devil is just going to try to keep trying and trying and trying so hard to just get you off course and keep you from receiving what God has for you, trying to keep you from that victory. We'll see, just stay with him. It's on the way. It's coming. It's coming. Or if you're at a place right now, listener, if you're at a place where you could shout for that miracle coming, I'd be shouting. I know, yeah, it's coming, it's on its way. You just have to keep believing for that breakthrough, it's coming, and let me just check the clock real quick. Just don't give up. real quick. Point one, do not plan on defeat. Plan on victory. Point two, whatever you believe in God for, it's on its way. Lord God, I thank you for this great word. It's been a long time in this word, but I know it was a good message, and I just know that I helped some people tonight. And we can get these miracles. We can get miracles working in us. And we know you're the God of miracles, Lord God. And I just thank you for you just being right there with us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, real quick with sports. Real quick. Tigers lost four more since we talked last, including Wednesday night, where they lost to the Astros. Roy Andrew did a pretty good job. Pitched six innings, gave up one run, which was a home run, on four hits, as the Tigers lost 4-1. Tigers also lost Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Yesterday, they had a game suspended due to rain in Detroit against Oakland. It was in the seventh inning. Tigers were down 5-3. That game will be made up, starting with that portion of the seventh inning, later in the year in Oakland, as Oakland will not be coming back to Detroit this year. So that's the plan there. Basketball. Warriors are just about, I mean, the Trailblazers are just about finished. They are down 3-0. I think Portland has a chance to win tonight. If they don't win tonight, it's finished because, like I said, they're down 3-0 to the Warriors. Now in the East, however, that series is still close. It's 2-1 in favor of the Bucks. Because remember I said my nicknames for them this series are Feeling Like a Million Bucks and Cedar Point. Cedar Point referring to the Toronto Raptors. Don't you like that for a nickname, Cedar Point? Don't you like that? I love that, don't you? Because remember I said how I told you about how I came up with these nicknames for these teams was from this Son of Swami guy who does that for the Detroit Free Press. You actually saw some of that stuff from the Free Press where he does that, didn't you? I didn't find it until September. No, October of this past year. That's when I started doing that. Cedar Point's a good one for the Raptors, don't you think? And then for the Bucks, I decided feeling like a million, but the Bucks, I think they're referring to is like Hunt Fish Camp, right? So I should really change it to more like Hunt Fish Camp. That works better, don't you think? Especially with that to say it's 2-1 in favor of Milwaukee. They are in Toronto. But I think this will still go six games, at least, possibly seven. And, folks, until tomorrow night, God first, God always. So long, everybody.